all thorn in the flesh. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope this will be of help to some people here that are going through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. I'll begin reading with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, down through verse 10. Great passage of Scripture. Paul said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the message of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." To me, that's one of the greatest statements in the Bible. And that statement has meant a whole lot to me since that COVID nearly killed me about years ago. So he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." See, God's ways are not our ways. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then am I strong." The key verse in our text, of course, is verse 7. I repeat, Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." I want to preach with the help of God on the ministry of the thorn. The ministry of the thorn. I'll lead us in a word of prayer as I pray audibly. Would you pray in your heart? Please ask God to bless. I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be up here preaching, just be preaching. I'd like to be of a blessing to you. Our Father, our God in heaven, God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you for shedding your blood to make atonement for our sins. And thank you, said your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank you, have removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, God. So great a salvation. Thank you for this church. Thank you, God, for all these precious brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this dear pastor. Bless him. Continue to give him wisdom. Touch his wife. Heal her. Heal others in this church family's not well. And Father, please God for those here this evening that have a thorn in the flesh. Give them the same grace you gave the Apostle Paul. Oh God, how great, how great, how good, how awesome thou art. Oh God. Thank you and call you our Father. And I thank you do more than just rather title. I thank you truly all, Father to us, oh God. We love you. Forgive us for not loving you as much as we should, though. In Jesus' name we pray that you all his sake. Amen. The ministry of the thorn. Got a lot of ministers in and through the church. You got preaching, teaching, praying, soul winning. You've got some churches have a radio ministry, television ministry, nursing home ministry, tract ministry. Some churches have a youth ministry, music ministry. Some churches even have a deaf ministry. But all these are ministers to others. The thorn is a minister to me and you. Talk about the ministers of thorn. Now, there's a difference between trials and thorns. All Christians go through trials. But not all Christians have a thorn. Trials are more temporary. Thorns are more permanent. Trials come and go. A thorn comes to stay. You have a thorn, you'll probably do like the Apostle Paul, carry it with you all the way to the grave. Once God gave Paul this thorn, he never took it back. Some of you've got a thorn, and no matter what you have tried to do to alleviate the thorn, you still have it. That's one of the ways you know it's a thorn instead of a trial. And there's a difference between thorns and chastisement. A thorn is to keep the sin out. Chastisement is to get the sin out once it gets in. Now, if you're successful at anything, it doesn't just have to be the ministry. If you're successful at anything, if you're close to God, you love God, then you're a candidate for the thorn. So if you're successful at anything, then you are subject to get lifted up with pride. This amazes me. The Apostle Paul had to have a thorn in the flesh because of pride. That's what the book says, folks. I'm just telling you what the book says. So I was hurriedly notice Paul's prison, just Paul's peril. Thirdly, Paul's pain. Then Paul's prayer, Paul's provisions. Last of all, Paul's praise, just like God gave it to me back years ago. So in those, first of all, Paul's privileges. You read up here where Paul said, verse 1, the same chapter, "It is expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Notice revelations of the Lord. Then again in verse 7, he talks about the abundance of the revelation. Yes, Apostle Paul wrote half New Testament. Had several successful missionary journeys. Had people saved on his ministry. He established churches, ordained elders. Very, very successful. Man, I really believe Apostle Paul's the greatest Christian ever lived. I think about what H.R. Ironside said. Probably some of you have his books. I have most all of his books, if not all. He said, "When I read about all the Apostle Paul went through, all he suffered," he said, "I feel like I'm just playing at church." I can say the same thing. Man, look at what this man went through, and yet he never wobbled on the axle. He never quit. What a Christian. So we see something of Paul's privileges, but then we see his peril. Verse 7, he said, I'll be exalted above measure. That's pride. Not lest I be exalted above measure. He's talking about himself. Then last part of that verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. Twice in one verse, Paul talked about the danger of pride. Lest I be exalted above measure. See, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, a haunted spirit before fall. The Bible says these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abominations of God. The first one on the list is a proud look. God hates pride.
Yes,
he hates my pride. He hates your pride. That's what got the devil kicked out of heaven. Pride.
Yes.
Pride. God said, my glory will I give unto no man. You put your hands on the glory of God, he'll back off from you. The Bible says God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. This was a glass or cup. And say it was about half full of water. I could probably carry it back and forth across this platform for a good while without spilling a drop. But fill it up to the brim, folks. You get the message. It's hard to carry a full cup without spilling it. Martin Luther, the white man that got saved, came out of Roman Catholic somewhat 400 or 500 years ago, made one of the most powerful statements I've ever read or heard in my life. Now here's what he said. He said, I've often seen God allow preachers and leaders and churches get into the sin of adultery as a judgment upon their sin of pride. That's a powerful statement. I think I'll just go ahead and quote that again. He said, I've often seen God allow preachers and leaders and churches to get into the sin of adultery as a judgment upon the sin of pride. I've seen this happen. I'm not going to call any names, but I know, especially of one particular preacher, well-known, famous. I'll never forget, he used to pastor a huge church in this country. And I'll never forget, there was a number of us preachers went to hear him preach in his church. We was preaching a meeting. They're having morning and evening services. And when we finished one of the morning services, we went over to the dining hall there at the church to eat. And this particular preacher, I'm talking about, he sat across the table from me at an angle. I could reach over and touch his hand. A lot of times when I'm sitting around the table, especially if it's several people there, I don't say hardly anything. I let them do the talking. So he had a lot to say. By the time we finished that meal, I thought to myself, this is one of the most arrogant men I've ever met in my life. You know, it wasn't too long after that very thing happened with that preacher. He got into the awful sin of adultery as a judgment upon his sin of pride. I'm telling you, God hates pride.
Yes, sir.
We better pray for God to take that stuff out of our heart. I don't know why in the world we got to go around thinking we're it, thinking we're something. When Paul said, what hast thou that thou dost not receive? You got anything worth bragging on? It didn't originate with you, it originated with God. What hast thou that thou dost not receive? So keep your hands off the glory of God. Give God the glory. Next of all, we'll see Paul's pain. Notice he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. The master of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. See, talking about Paul's pain. Now watch this, folks. This thorn was not comparative to the thorn on your rose bush. Oh, no. A little thorn like that wouldn't cause Apostle Paul to pray and beg God. To remove it. No. It was really a stake. It was like a post. It was sharp, pointed on end, and they would take the victim and impale him on that thing. Go right up under the rib cage. That was what Paul was experiencing. Painful, very painful. Then he said, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, and that means to beat the fist. From the time that God gave Paul this thorn in the flesh, the devil beat on him. And the devil may have knocked him down sometimes, but he never did knock him out. I don't know what your thorn is. My thorn may not be your thorn, or your thorn may not be my thorn. But if you have a thorn in the flesh, you know it. Because it's with you every day of your life. Now, I make a hard statement, but I know I'm right on what I'm fixing to say. You're better off with it than without it. Though it might be very, very painful, very trying. Your thorn could be arthritis. A lot of people have that. When I go to bed at night, I put soft gloves on both hands. I hurt so bad from arthritis. Your thorn could be kidney stone. It's a big one. I've never had one. They tell me that's one of the most painful things you can have, kidney stone. By the way, while I'm on this, I'm going to give you some medical advice that won't cost you a dime. Your doctor may charge you, but I won't charge you. They claim that a good thing for arthritis is cod liver oil. I can almost hear somebody right now saying, I think I'd rather have the arthritis than drink that stuff. I say a good thing for kidney stones is 2 8-ounce glasses of grape juice a day. Really? I know a man who used to have probably the worst of anybody ever seen in my life, and he found that out. It reduced his kidney stones through drinking with grape juice every day. That doesn't cost you a dime. Thank you. get thorn in the flesh could be a chronic sinus trouble. Your thorn in the flesh could be migraine headaches. What else, a big one? Probably a number of you have migraine headaches. My pastor has them the worst of anybody I've ever met in my life. Migraine headaches. They don't seem to have them as bad as they used to. But he used to have them so bad until he didn't even have to tell me when he had one. I could look in his eyes and tell it. Excruciating pain. You have migraine headaches, maybe a thorn in the flesh. Your thorn in the flesh could be heart trouble, cancer. Could be a mental disorder. Your thorn in the flesh could be diabetes. A lot of people have diabetes that kill my brother. Your thorn in the flesh could be, here's a big one, depression. Think of David when he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Depression. I've been there. Well, you walk up to a person who's deeply depressed and say, why don't you just snap out of it? Yeah, that's exactly what their brother like to do. They claim there's over 30 million in America alone with mental and emotional disorders. We consume some 24 tons of tranquilizers, sleeping pills, things of that nature, every day in America alone. We're an uptight generation only. Your thorn in the flesh could be a chemical imbalance in your brain or in your blood. Let me notice next of all Paul's prayer. Paul prayed about it. And if it's all right for Paul to pray about it, it's all right for me and you to pray about it. God's no respecter of persons. And the Bible tells us that Jesus can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So if you're suffering, do like Paul. Pray about it. You may not know whether it's a thorn or not until you really commit it to God in prayer. Notice what Paul said. Verse 8. But this thing I besought the Lord. Twice. That word salt means to beg. Paul didn't say just a Sunday school prayer. No, he prayed fervently, earnestly for God to take it away. And God didn't do it. And I believe if God would hear anybody's prayers, he'd hear the Apostle Paul's prayers. But reading between the lines, I can hear God said, no, Paul, I got something better in mind. You can go to a doctor and get help. Go to it. Nothing wrong with going to a doctor. Jesus said, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus said, sick people need a doctor. I'm telling you, I came down with that COVID back yonder 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't call up Benny Hinn. I wouldn't ask that man to pray for me if he's sitting in the front pew right there. I've done my homework. I'm not bragging, I'm just stating the fact. I've got thousands upon top of thousands of books in my library and in our home. One in our house to the other end. Books, books, books. I like to collect books and I like to read them, study them. I've done a lot of studying on that charismatic movement. You better stay 1,000 miles away from it. It's wildfire. I can show you some documented material of how ungodly some of them people are. But if you go to all the doctors in town, you take all the medication that's available, and you don't get any better, then you probably got a thorn. And it doesn't matter how many doctors you go to, it doesn't matter how much medication you take, if God's given you a thorn, you're not going to get rid of it. Don't pray about it. Paul did. Then next of all, we'll see Paul's provisions. I love this. When Paul prayed fervently and earnestly for God to take that thorn away, no, said in him, in verse 9, he just simply said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Well, I'm not going to take your thorn away, but I'm going to give you enough grace to rise above that. And Paul, according to the word of God, Paul was more effective after the thorn than before. Woo! Hallelujah. And you can't beat God. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Reminds me of a true story. I understand this really happened. Back years ago, this man wanted to purchase a Rolls Royce. And those things cost a lot of money. We looked it up, a Rolls Royce cost, well, one of them we looked up cost $343,000. Well, I'm satisfied with my Chevrolet. And if you have a Ford, I feel sorry for you. You know the difference between a Ford and a golf ball, don't you? You can drive a golf ball 300 yards. Somebody said them Fords must have some beautiful motors because every time you see one, they got their hood up looking at it. Now, if you have a Ford, you may be better off than those of us that have a Chevrolet, but I doubt it. But this man, he went down to a Rolls Royce dealership. He looked those cars over, and before he would commit himself to buying one, he thought, "I'll go home and think about this." And just about the time he started to walk out the door, he turned and looked at the salesman. He said, "By the way, how much horsepower does this thing have?" The man went, He said, "Sir, I'll look into that. I'll wire you and let you know." So he did. He wired him two words: horsepower adequate. There was enough horsepower in the hood of that car to cause it to do what they designed it to do. And there's enough of the grace of God in Jesus Christ to cause you and I to do what we need to do in spite of the poor. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God in the Lamb. My grace is sufficient for thee. Not almost sufficient, sufficient for thee. Hallelujah. And I'm finding that it is. Despite of having had the COVID and having to fight vertigo every day of my life, I'm finding God's grace is sufficient. Amen. I'm still enjoying the Christian life. Amen. By grace of God, I ain't going to have no pity party. No, the Bible says rejoice in the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Don't got me wanting to shout now. Last of all, see Paul's praise. What was Paul's reactions to what Jesus told him when he said, my grace is sufficient for thee? Notice what he said in the middle of verse 9. Most gladly. Most what? Most gladly. Paul, you mean you're glad about it? Yes, I am. Most gladly. Therefore, I'd rather go in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said in verse 10, therefore I take what? Pleasure. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Hard to get a man down with that kind of a mindset. Paul realized he's better off with the thorn than without it. You notice he said he'd go in his infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon him. In the last part of verse 10, when I'm weak, then I'm a strong. See, God's ways are not our ways. We think his strength is made perfect in strength. Oh, no. No. His strength is made perfect in weakness. See, that was Darwin's theory of evolution, the survival of the fittest. But this Bible teaches the survival of the weakest. I mean, read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Not chosen many mighty, many noble, many wise. He's chosen what? The weak things. Go read the book of Judges and notice how many times God used weak things. All through the book of Judges, weak things. I love that. That gives us all a chance. I've been pushing all of them down this country. If God could ever get us weak enough, there's no telling how strong they'd be on our behalf. Folks, we get in his way. Like Martin Lloyd Jones, the great writer and preacher said, he said, self's a monster in every one of us. That's right. Self. Oh, self. So God has to give us thorns in the flesh. God has to break us and bend us. Put us through all kinds of suffering to bring us to an end of all we are so we realize all Jesus is. That's another message, but I love to preach on positional truth. I love to preach on the Christ life for the self life. You go home and try to master Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. I was fasting and praying when God showed me what Romans 6 talk about. I'm telling you what. The town broke in my soul when God showed me what Romans 6 talk about. So my life text now is Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but who? Christ lives where? Not just in heaven, but in me. Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you watch this. If we have been crucified with Christ, then who you think is living in the place of that crucified self in me and you? Jesus is. Woo! That's what he's in there for. He didn't come in there to take a back seat. He came in there to take over. He didn't come in there to watch the show. He came in there to run the show. And I'm telling you, to God be able to go. This thing can become so real. Come out to Christ's life, to self-life, and F.B. Meyer, he dealt with that, and A.B. Simpson, and Jefferson Taylor, read his book on Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret. He deals with it. God has to show it to a person. But like I was going to say, it can get so wonderful. You get to the place where you realize Jesus is praying through you. Jesus is speaking through you. I mean, after all, the Bible said, Jesus said, it's not you speak, but the Spirit of my Father speaketh to you. It gets so wonderful. You're conscious of the fact that Jesus is living his own life through you. Man. I'm through preaching. Would you stand? You've been so attentive. Y'all got a good thing going here. Keep it that way. Don't ever let the devil get in here and divide you up. I have a word of prayer with you. You may want to come to the altar while I'm praying. You may want to come down and ask God to give you grace for that thorn you've got. You don't want to try to bear this burden alone. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. God in heaven, speak to our hearts now. Thank you, precious Jesus. You're so sweet, so precious. Jesus, you're the best thing ever happened to us, ever will happen to us. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for grace, for the thorns we have. I really thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace that you give me for this thorn of deafness. Thank you, God. Your grace is sufficient. It is. Prove that on my behalf. So please help your people here. Jesus, thank you. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians praying. Church, come as altar. Come down and ask God to give you grace like he gave Paul grace for his thorn.